value the trust you put in us to bring you the best tri-state news coverage, and now you can start each weekday informed about our community. Subscribe to our Daily View email and receive stories from the award-winning WVXU news team in time for your morning coffee. Visit WVXU.org to subscribe.
The champagne has been popped, loved ones kissed, and resolutions made. 2020 is here, which means it's time to start thinking about the November elections. Morning Edition from NPR News will be with you the whole way, with the updates and context you need to make an informed decision, and so you don't drop the ball. 2020 election, it's time to listen.
On 91.7 WVXU, with host Marianne Zalesnik.
Support comes from Cincinnati Playhouse and the Park's production of Buddy, the Buddy Holly Story, a musical about Buddy Holly's meteoric rise to fame that features over 20 of his greatest hits, January 18th to February 16th, sponsored by U.S. Bank. Tickets, cincyplay.com. March theater season presented by Schuller Group.
Next time on Ask Me Another, we're joined by actor, director, and playwright John Cameron Mitchell. He tells us about his role on the Hulu series Shrill and the inspiration behind his genre-bending podcast, Anthem Homunculus. Then we challenge him to a quiz about real predictions that were made about life in the 21st century. So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions. Saturday morning at 11 on 91.7 WVXU.
Politics, science, the economy. You name the subject and you'll hear a story about it every day right here on WVXU. Book reviews, commentary, music are there too. Once in a while, you'll also hear a reminder like this, asking you to support Cincinnati's news and information radio station with a contribution. It just takes a few minutes at WVXU.org. Thank you.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Cincinnati Storytelling Festival is set for the weekend of February 6th through the 8th at the Madcap Education Center on Harrison Avenue, featuring national storytellers Lynn Ford, Bill Lepp, and Paul Strickland, and local storytellers such as True Theater, Greg Hand, and Molly Wellman. The stories will range from scary to historic to comedic to flat-out tall tales. I spoke with two storytellers earlier about it. And joining me now is the producer of the Cincinnati Storytelling Festival, Paul Strickland. Paul, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And on the phone with us is Lynn Ford. She's one of the storytellers in the festival. Lynn, thank you for being with us.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Paul, I understand that you participate in storytelling festivals all over the place, all over the world, really.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what a storytelling festival is.
Well, a storytelling festival is an event that hosts different storytellers from different backgrounds. So you get a diversity of different styles of the traditional art of storytelling.
Okay, so what does that mean exactly? How are these stories told?
So quite literally, there is a microphone on stage, and then someone brings their heritage and their skill onto the stage, and then they tell the stories to the folks in front of them.
What makes for a good story at an event like this?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the audience. A good story is a story that that has roots in some sort of, I think, tradition, but also sort of speaks that tradition into the contemporary world in a way that compels people to continue listening.
How long have you been at this?
Well, I've been doing storytelling in some capacity or another for about a decade now, professionally. I think Lynn has actually been doing it quite a bit longer.
Is that right, Lynn? Have you been at this a while?
Oh, yes. As a professional, about 28 years. But my mother says I started at the age of 3 telling lies.
What kind of lies were you telling as a young girl?
Oh, the kind to try to get myself out of trouble. I asked my mother if she remembered any of the stories, and she remembered too much. And she told me I had told her that the cat broke the lamp. We didn't have a cat, so that story didn't work at all.
Yeah, I could see how that story collapsed pretty quickly. In the bio on you that was provided to me, Lynn, you're described as someone who is Afro-Latchin, and that is someone of African-American heritage and history from the region, Appalachia. How does that background influence the stories that you tell?
The stories were a bit more unique. they blended the heritage of the family's folk tales, some rooted in primarily West African folk tale and storytelling tradition, which also was blended with the Cherokee and Choctaw heritage of the family's stories and the European American part of the family, Scots, Irish, German, French, and English, all settling in the Appalachian region.
And so is that primarily the basis for the stories you tell, or is there a variety of styles and themes?
There's a variety, a big variety, but most of my storytelling began listening knee-to-knee with the elders in the family. So there were a lot of folk tales in the family, but there were also those personal stories that you would hear sitting on the front porch, or for me, hiding under the table when I wasn't supposed to be listening.
And Paul, what about you? How are your stories crafted?
So I do exclusively tall tales. One of the reasons why we were so excited to bring in Lynn is because I actually worked with Lynn about a year and a half ago in a storytelling festival in Chillicothe, Ohio. And the thing I loved so much about Lynn's telling was the ways in which she would weave traditional tales from varying cultures into a personal narrative from her own life. I do basically none of that. I start and just lie the entire time.
I see in your bio information that you share stories that were told to you by your Aunt True and your Uncle False. These are a couple of people who live on what you describe as Big Fib Cul-de-Sac, a small trailer park just off the coast of Factual,
yes,
in the mythical American South.
They live just off the coast of Factual. In fact, if you leave Factual and head due south, you will pass Big Fib on your way to Bald-Faced.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
And obviously, if you get to Bald-Faced, you've gone too far.
Well, could you share a little bit? I mean, a quick anecdote that we might hear? Should we head that way and run into Aunt True? And
oh,
Uncle
absolutely. If you get a chance to go down there, you should absolutely do that. I actually told Uncle Fultz recently that cul-de-sac in French literally means bottom of the bag. And he said, I thought it meant turn around or stay. Over? And he says over because he still thinks his cordless phone works like a walkie-talkie. I said, Uncle Fultz, you don't have to say over after every time you're done talking. And then there was kind of a long pause. And then I said, hello? And he said, didn't know you's done talking. Over. And then he started into his story.
Very cool. So where did these folks come from in your mind?
You know, my Uncle Fultz actually is sort of a conglomerate of several people from my past, as is Aunt True and any of the stories that I tell. I mean, they are all based in sort of the tall tale tradition of kind of lying in a large way. But often I find I'm able to sort of be more honest by not addressing a topic straight on. I feel like there are several of my stories that I deal with questions that I have about my past through these folks. And so I'll take a little piece of someone like an actual uncle of mine or, someone from my past, and then I'll just make them into these characters so that I can feel more comfortable and free being as honest as possible throughout the lies.
Are you from the South?
I am. I grew up in a small Alabama town called Pensacola, Florida.
I get that reference.
Yeah,
the panhandle is
absolutely
sort of the Alabama part of Florida.
Yeah.
All right, of Alabama, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you grow up in the American South, there is a certain type of heritage related to tales and,
sure,
and front porch chats and that,
yeah,
sort of thing. Talk about how that influences you.
Yeah, I mean, my grandfather was a minister, and he was actually a traveling minister. He and his family actually went out and did tent revivals and things of that nature. So he was sort of, in his own way, a troubadour, and I often say that I am an untroubadour, right? And so I think, I mean, that tradition of sitting around and kind of hyperbolizing for fun is certainly part of my past. And also just, I mean, I have a very interesting relationship, I would say, with my actual family. So part of the fun of it all, too, especially when Aunt True and Uncle Fultz sort of came about a decade ago, was because I made up a family to replace some of my extended family that I had no longer had any relationship with.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how has this family accepted your stories? Have they seen your performances?
My mom and dad very recently have come back around to watching and seeing some of my things, and it's gone actually rather well. You know, I mean, time heals things. And I think that's the beautiful thing about something like a storytelling festival, because we are bridging a traditional art form into the contemporary world. If you go to one of the major storytelling festivals, say Jonesboro or even Cave Run down in Moorhead, Kentucky, if you go to those festivals, it's astounding to sit there and see literally 1,000 people in a tent, listening to a person tell a traditional tale, sometimes from the 1600s or earlier, and to watch children and senior citizens both rapt in their attention at this thing that's happening. It is actually the act of watching humans being humans.
Lynn Ford is one of the storytellers at the first ever Cincinnati Storyteller Festival. Lynn, we heard a little bit of Paul's Ain't True and Uncle False. I'm wondering if you might have a little piece of a story that you'd be willing to share with us as well.
Well, I can say that my mother had told me there were certain stories that I shouldn't tell because the person wasn't dead yet. So she put those restrictions on the story.
So you're waiting for someone to die.
Yeah, so I have to wait till somebody keels over and then it's okay to tell all their business.
Yeah.
When I was little, I would sit underneath the table, and the tablecloth would be drawn over it as the ladies of the church were having their tea, and they would eventually start talking about things and then talking about folks, and then my grandma would say, wait a minute, and she'd lift up the tablecloth, and she'd say, Lenny Jean, come out from under there and keep your mouth shut. And I would say, yes, ma'am, but of course I couldn't. So on Sunday mornings when I would get to church, I would walk up to one of the ladies that I knew had been gossiping, and I'd say good morning and open my purse, and they would fill it with coins and candy, and I was just the richest child on any Sunday morning. That didn't necessarily mean I was the best child. I just knew all the gossip.
Oh, that's great, Lynn. We appreciate you sharing that with us. And Paul Strickland, you are described as the producer of the Cincinnati Storytelling Festival. This is the first such event in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. A city that has a rich cultural arts scene. Why is the city ready for this? What do you expect?
Well, I'm excited to help bring it. I mean, co-producer is what I should say. Alice Flanders is producing it with us, as well as Madcap Education Center. So Dylan Shelton, the artistic director of Madcap, approached Alice and I and asked us if we could help put this thing together over there on the west side. And I'm very excited, mostly because I think Cincinnati is doing a lot of storytelling already in varying forms. But this particular form, this sort of that kind of came up from Jonesboro, Tennessee, now 49 years ago, the storytelling festival as it is, there's just not one here in Cincy. And I think the West Side's a great place to do it. We're going to have Greg Hand and Molly Wellman that are going to be doing a storytelling show on Thursday that's about Cincinnati history.
It's got to be about booze, I would imagine.
I mean, I would imagine
yeah.
So, but I'm putting no restrictions on them. I'm very excited about that. And on Friday, we're going to have Dave Levy with True Theater that's going to be there presenting kind of a show-and-tell showcase show. So people are going to bring an object and then tell a story about it. So there will be local shows that will be happening as well as part of the festival. But I'm just heartened by the theater scene in Cincinnati and the way in which Cincinnati theater has embraced storytelling as kind of a theatrical sibling. I've had a great experience working both at the No Theater and with the Cincinnati Fringe Festival, as well as with Madcap Puppet Company, bringing sort of my style of theater, which is a theatricalized storytelling. And so I think we're going to do pretty well with this festival here.
It's the Cincinnati Storytelling Festival. Co-producer Paul Strickland and storyteller Lynn Ford have been our guests. Thanks to both of you for being in here.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Michael.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.